certain one, which one you use?
The two right there is the one she told us to use.
The red one? Which one's Margaret? These two?
Okay. Let me make sure.
We won't have to have stands, just the mics.
Okay.
Yeah. Hello, folks, bless you today.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Paul said, "I'm a helper of your joy." And we've noticed along the trail that some people could use some help along those areas. And it's kind of been our trademark. We even have a license plate now on our Jeep that says, Joy R Us.
That's right. Joy R Us.
Get it? Joy R Us. Okay. Yeah. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do a little song that kind of goes along with that to start things off. We're going to sing a couple songs before I share the word and then probably a grand finale. I want you to do a cute song. It's just a cute song. It has some pretty harmony on the front of it. It's what I called back there, what on the list back there. This is karaoke day. yeah, it's all good. Now, this is actually Blaine Bowman and his Good Time Band, but they're just on CD today. But at least you got Blaine and Christy. Come on now. Here we go. Go for it. Amen. First song there. Christine will sing for you. It's Notify.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Notify.
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 Notify. Your face.
We go to many meetings, see Christians everywhere.
All the time.
We sing and talk of Jesus and how it'll be up there. We talk of all the burdens confronting human race. We say Jesus is the answer with a frown all over our face. If you're happy,
notify your face.
Take that frown off, put a smile in its place. If you love Jesus, show it to the human race.
If you're happy, notify your face.
We claim we've got the answer to everything that's wrong. Then sit in church impatiently when services get long. Then we go out in the world with faces sad and blue. No wonder folks won't listen, that Jesus is the truth.
He is now.
If you're happy,
notify your face.
Take that frown off,
put a smile in his place.
If you love Jesus,
I like the way it was, yeah.
Show it to the human race.
If you're happy, notify your face.
Yeah. All right. This next song I want to sing for you today is a song that we put on our last record, our newest record. We were here. Were we here with you Easter? We were here Easter Sunday morning, weren't we, last year? So it's been almost a year since we were here. So we released this record in July, so it's a new one for you. But I want to sing a song here from the perspective of Simon Peter. Now he, was the big mouth in the crowd, always put his hand up whether he knew the answer or not, and was one of those guys, just in your face, that kind of personality, but a wonderful man. And he also, in his later life, in 2 Peter chapter 3, he wrote about the Apostle Paul. And he said, there's some things that Paul says that are hard to understand, but they are scripture. He put his approval on it. And I want to just, because the story of when Jesus was being crucified, was on the way to Pilate's hall, and Simon Peter denied the Lord, and the cock crowed, and he imagined what it looked like when he looked in the eyes of Jesus, standing there lying, denying that he knew him. And I took a song for you leftover hippies in the crowd, an old Jimmy Buffett song, and made it a gospel song. And Jimmy Buffett is a pure heathen. But Jimmy Buffett writes happy music.
Yeah.
And Christians could learn something from that. That's some of the comments I heard in Sunday school today. True.
That's right.
It's true. So we've brought this to church and sanctified it. And it's an incredible happy song recorded by the Good Time Band. So let me sing it for you. This would be, number three. It's the third one, Jimmy Buffett one. It's not always. I'm skipping always. I had my order here. I'm throwing her off now. Is that okay? It's it would be on the all tracks, and it's song number three. I want to go on a cruise. How about you? Well, I'm feeling pretty guilty now. I'm a piece of the rock, but I'm wondering how. Should have seen that look in his eyes when I stood there and told those lies. But I'll never despair, even though I denied him there. Come Sunday, it'll be alright. Come Sunday, we'll be walking in light. He spent three lonely days in death, hell, and the grave. He's seated at Father's right side. Was it just another crucifixion? This man had done no wrong. It was all about redemption, bringing all of God's children home. Well, his blood was shed, but the Father raised him from the dead. Come Sunday, it'll be alright. Come Sunday, we'll be walking in light. He spent three lonely days in death, hell, and the grave. We're seated at Father's right side. The perspective of Simon Peter. Well, now Brother Paul saw things different. A little hard to understand. He said we were all there with Jesus, crucified, buried, raised up, and seated with him. Living in the right side of the book. Come on. I got my righteousness on, got my feet on the rock, and my name's on the roll. So glad I found my place. Somebody help me thank God for His grace. Come Sunday, it'll be alright. Come Sunday, we'll be walking in light. We spent three lonely days in death, hell, and the grave. Now we're seated at Father's right side. We spent three lonely days in death, hell, and grave. We're seated at Father's right side. You parrot heads.
Amen.
Amen. I want to share one more here before I preach. I want to do the number two song, always. Okay, it was the number two. We just switched the order there, okay. It would be on all tracks number nine. Yep. And did you hear that, Luke? We're going to do that. I'm just kidding. Click us in there with your drums, everybody. Listen, it's good to be with you today. We are in a different time in our life. Just wait a minute. I'm going to... Can you hold it a minute? Yeah, okay. Let's go. That's the one. Let's get the piano player to be quiet a minute, okay? We still are technically a band for special events and some things this year. We already have some things scheduled as a singing group still. But for about a year now, Christine, the kids, and I, all of us have been praying and planning that in the first part of 2014 the kids would kind of go their way and do some things that they wanted to do and they felt the Lord wanted them to do. And we had a good ride. 22 years, pretty good ride in it.
That's right.
And amen. I hate it. I was thinking they might fly the coop at 18, but they waited until this 28 and 29. So that's pretty good. I got them a lot longer than most people do.
That's true.
But we'll still come together, and you can get online and see when we're going to be together if you still got to hear that Bowman band. And I'm thankful that it's not gone because I love a band too. But I also love what God's doing in all of us. And they're part of a great church up in Lebanon. My nephew has a wonderful church, and they're all there today and helping. And so praise God. They still love Jesus. They haven't quit serving God or anything.
But that's right.
We're just going some different directions. And me and Mama never missed a lick. We're just going straight on. You know, we had something before we had them.
That's right.
So they just walked up under our anointing for a while. Now they've walked out on their own, and we still got ours. Amen. But we are doing something. You know, some of you have been here when we did a tribute to Andre Crouch. You've heard us over the years since 1980, 34 years. Some of you have seen us around. And you know that we do all kinds of music, and we love all kinds of music, and we've done tributes. We've gone on little journeys for a year or two and then gone in a different direction. But I always wanted to do a number three album of these secular songs that we convert. So the last one was one of those. The last one we did last spring was one of those. And that's what we're singing for you a little bit today. But this one here is an old song by an old crooner from Austin, Texas. And can you put something up real quick? This is not planned, but a scripture. Can you put up a scripture for me? You can't put up scriptures? Okay. Okay, that's all right. Well, I'll just quote it to you. And I'm sorry. I guess not. Well, there's the screen. But anyway, the word says in Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18, Lord, if I could count the thoughts you have toward me, they would outnumber the sand of the sea. And you know, if you've ever been to the beach, and I've been to Siesta Key. Yes, I have. And I put my hand in that white sand. Just one handful. How many granules are in one handful?
Oh, my.
You know, and to think about all the granules on the west side of Florida, then add all the granules on the east side of Florida, and then all the oceans of the world and all the sand. Folks, that's a lot of thoughts. You really believe that? Well, it says it. I mean, what part are we going to believe? Just that part that's unbelievable? You know, if Brother David, and God loves me as much as he did David. Matter of fact, I have a better covenant than him. So, hello.
Right. Amen.
And so if God thought that way about David, you know, he can handle my mortgage payment. Come on.
That's right.
He can handle my future. He can handle everything I've worked for. He can handle it all. He can handle everything you're concerned about today.
Right. Amen.
And those relationships and situations and whatever's bugging you. Bible says, cast it all on him. So there was nothing wrong with this song originally. Now, the guy that has made it a hit could quit his reefer. You know, that wouldn't hurt him at all. But sister liked that. She laughed at that. But I'll sing it for you here, and then I'll preach a few minutes. Okay? Go for it. I didn't have to switch too many words on this song. Have to change much on this one. That's Jacob. You may think he don't love you. It's clear you just don't understand. Why would he be thinking of you? Such a far and distant land. You may think you've gone too far.
Not true, it's not true.
Why would God take the time? But you're always on his mind. Yeah, you're always on. Wasted years, they may haunt you. life is filled with regret. Well, I brought some good news from South Lebanon for you. You never gave up on you. Many times he's called you. Don't you think it's about time? 'Cause you're always on his mind. Yeah, you're always on his mind. Until another time, he's calling. All he wants to do is give you life.
That's what it's about,
giving you life. You think it's about time?
I had to do it once.
'Cause you're always on his mind. I got Bible for it. Psalm 139. Always on his mind. Always on his mind. Look at your neighbor. Come on and say it to him. You're always on his mind. Bless you, bless you. Amen. Thank you, Christine. Good job. We'll do a grand finale here in a few minutes. I want to ask you to turn today to Isaiah, if you will. Let me share a little word with you here. We do have that new CD, and folks, the old cliche, tip of the iceberg, you just heard the tip. The kids are on it. Our Tiffany did a great song by Adele. She converted to Jesus. Rolling in the Deep, it's called. Our son did a song by Phillips called Home. He was the winner of American Idol year before last. And we did, kids keep us young. They keep us kind of on the cutting edge of some of the newer stuff. But anyway, it's a good record to give to heathens. Because you can't hurt music, can't hurt notes, like you said today, Brother Oscar, in class there. And it's just notes. We just use them different. We use them for God. Come on, amen. It's just music. And so it's a blessing, and it's been a source of about one quarter to one third of the Bowman's income all these years, our record sales on our product table. And it's been a way for people to take us home with them. They're quality recordings. They weren't recorded in our basement with a cassette player. You know, they were there. You're going to be proud of anything you take with you, and thank God for that. But come on by and see my table. We've got a little deal going, one for 15, two for 25. Then we throw in a bonus, attention Walmart shoppers. Amen. And what else do I need to tell you about that out there? I guess it's just ready for it to go, and it's a blessing. And there is a limited supply, so get them quickly. And once that's gone, we'll go outside of the Jeep and get another limited supply. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 53. I'm going to do a highlight out of 53, 54, and 55, just a little kind of an overview. There's a new teaching series God just gave me. Actually, I'm in the middle of it at a church in Kentucky on Wednesday nights. I'm calling it the Letters of the Apostle Paul in Isaiah. I like the Old Testament. Of course, you got to love the Old Testament. We wouldn't have the new if we didn't have the old. It's the old cliche, the Old Testament is the is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. We have a better. I love standing in Romans reading Leviticus. It'd be depressing to try to go back to Leviticus and try to understand Romans, you know. This is a progressive thing that God's been doing, and, you know, we're in the right side of the book now, but thank God for these prophets. You know, imagine you're talking about current events. I mean, these guys are like, imagine Hannity on Fox News is just up there talking about something that happened today on the news, and all of a sudden, right in the middle of his speech, he starts saying, and y'all call his name, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father. What was that? That wasn't even on the teleprompter. You know what I mean? It's like these guys were talking about things going on 600 to 700 years before Jesus came. Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah and these prophets. But in the middle of it, then they would start talking about something coming later. Isaiah is full of prophecies of Jesus coming, and which is, here's one of them. Look at chapter 53, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. It looked like God was just getting him. But here's the truth of the matter. I said, here's the truth of the matter. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. You see, we call it the substitutionary work of Christ. We call this the great exchange. There's a chorus we sang there a few years back, said, I traded my sorrows. I traded my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Well, I think there's a lot of people that used to sing that song didn't understand scripturally what they were saying, but it was a good song because we have traded in the sin for righteousness. Come on. We have traded in the sickness for health. Come on. God sent this servant. And you know, the thing I'm doing is a three-part deal, and I'm going 53, 54, and 55, and here's how I break them down. 54 is Jesus the Messiah. It's a messianic chapter, and it talks about what he did for us. And 54 is the repercussions of it, or the blessing that came because of 53. And then 55 is the living out of it. Come on, amen. And the three highlights, this is the first one here, that it was all about you. You know, we use these little cliches at Christmas, I know, you know. We say that Jesus is the reason for the season. One fella got kind of clever. I don't even know where I heard it. It was about a year ago. He said, well, actually, it's not Jesus that was the reason for the season. It was really us. Because Jesus is all about us. Now, I know you can get weird with that. I'm not getting weird here, okay? But I'm just saying, he didn't do anything he did for his own sake. He did it for your sake. He didn't need to come down here and suffer and die and to become a human and walk the earth with us with the limitations we have and things. But thank God he did. Come on. That's the good news. That's the story of the gospel. That's the love that he showed. Verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And you know, I like Frank Sinatra. I like some of the songs that Frank Sinatra sang, but you know, I did it my way, you know. But who all knows it? Sometimes our lives, when we really look at them, it's very evident that we did it our way. Baloney with dad and mom and forget God, leave me alone, Jesus. I'm going to do it my way, boy. And it's evident down the trail that you are reaping what you wanted. Because one of the scariest things, one of the scariest verses in all the Bible, the Gospels, is when Jesus said, leave them alone. I hate when he says that. It's in the context of for they are let the blind lead the blind. They both fall in the ditch. Leave them alone. You persist. God will say, okay, fine. Go ahead, do it your way. I'll take the oversight here. There are limitations. I will, in a kind of a basic way, take care of you. But if you want to just drag through 60 years of hell on earth, go for it. I'll take you to heaven when you die, but you don't have to go to hell on the way to heaven. I do believe there is a hell, by the way. But there's some hell on earth, too, when we do it our way. Come on now, listen. But the Lord hath laid on him. Come on, somebody. Our iniquities. Quote to verse 8. He was taken from prison, from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. See, it looked like he was just being stricken because he was a bad guy. But that wasn't the case at all. It looked like a lonely man on a lonely cross about to die a lonely death. But in reality, it was for you and me. And I love, like say I'm highlighting here. Go up to verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Word many. Sometimes seems to conflict with all. He says, what's your position on election and, predestination and things like that. Well, I'm sure there's some theologians spend a little more time at it than I have, but I'm sure I'm right. And when I get to heaven, the Lord will let them know that I was right. Anyway, only joking, folks. Come on, laugh a little bit with me. Have some fun. You know Brother Blaine. Now listen, Hebrews 2:9 says he tasted death for all men. Of course, the invitation is continually, whosoever shall come. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. The invite's to all. Predestination is only twice in the Bible, once in Ephesians 1 and once in the 8th chapter of Romans. And it's always talking about his plan, not necessarily individuals. Of course, individuals are involved in the plan. Here's how I say it. God predestinated a party and invited everybody. Does everybody go? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It's all about if you accept the invitation. I'm glad I accepted the invitation. Amen. Who else is glad you accepted the invitation? So the many, isn't that he just died for many but not everybody, because then it would violate other scriptures. He died for all men. But I decide I'm going to be one of the many of the all that were invited. And he justifies us, declares us righteous. Now, going with that in mind, go into 54. You see, I'm highlighting. Look at your neighbor and say, this is good. Come on. Oh, I could preach the whole chapter, but look at verse 4. Fear not. I love when God says that. God spoke to us in prophecy a while ago. Fear not. Thank you, Lord. A stepping stool. Yeah. To reach for better. For thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded. For thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth. People do dumb things when they're young. And the great thing about God, and in class, I came in about halfway through the class. I didn't hear the whole class, but the part I heard was great. But, our sister back here was talking about things, and forgiveness and things, and that comment you made was so good because I was thinking the same thing before you said it. Jesus told Simon Peter to forgive his brother 7 times 70, in other words, continually, ongoing, but that's even 490. Now listen, if you add Luke 17 to that story, which is his account, he says in a day. Who all knows you have to live with quite a scoundrel to have to forgive him 490 times in one day? It's not that you got these little things you get at Dick's Sporting Goods, these little counters, and you're going, hey, dude, you know, don't you? Come on. We're on 489 right now. I get to kill you next time. You know, no, that's not what God's saying. And we're earthlings, and we have emotions, and we feel, and we hurt, and we cry, and we laugh, and we jump, and we pout. And I mean, we're human. And if God required that of a human, you got to forgive your brother 409 times in a day. Definitely this one who doesn't live by feelings would do the same for us, Oscar. And God is the God of the 490th chance. Everybody writes the books about the God of the second chance. How about 490? Times 365. Times however old you are. Come on now, I'm preaching good. Well, you're kind of stretching it. Well, next time I checked, he stretches a lot. It's called His Mercy Endureth Forever. God can be good to people without asking your permission. He even likes people you don't care for. He talks to people you don't like. Thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts his name, thy Redeemer, the Holy One, the God of the whole world shall he be called. For the Lord, verse 6, hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth. Oh, glory to God. Forsaken. Refused. What's your credentials? What's your history? It don't matter what your history is. What God is saying, it doesn't matter what you've been. It only matters what you're going to become. No matter how many times you've fallen off the wagon, it only matters how many times you got back on. For a moment I've forsaken thee. And then in verse 8 says, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. I got thinking, I'm 57 years and a half old. And I don't remember one time God's ever forsaken me. When in my history did God ever do that? Well, he never did. But see, Paul had a revelation that we were crucified with him. Come on. We were buried with him. We were raised up with him and made to sit with him in heavenly places. So when God turned his face from his son and Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's the time. It looked like a lonely man on a lonely hill about to die a lonely death. But in reality, it was all of us being crucified there with him, buried there with him, raised up with him, and seated with him in heavenly places. So if that's the case, then that's the only time God ever turned his face on me was at Calvary, even before I was born. But now, I love the last part of verse 8. I'll have mercy. Everlasting kind. Who knows that a moment is a lot different than everlasting? There's a little difference in those two words. Glory to God. I'll have mercy on thee. He keeps calling himself Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah to me. As I've sworn the waters of Noah should go no more over the earth, I've sworn that I would not be wroth with thee. Now what if I came in here and said, you know, the Lord revealed to me that he's going to destroy the earth on the 20th of March with water. I don't care if you're a scriptural illiterate that never reads but once a year, you know, if there happens to be one in the bathroom right next to the commode. No organized study at all. Any scriptural illiterate even knows, because they've heard grandma say it, that God's not going to destroy the earth with water again. But you're the same one that thinks God's mad at you. Boy, I'm about to preach real good. Listen to me. You're the same one that thinks God's got your case all the time. God's like, oh God, you know, any minute he's going to squash me like a bug. Let me tell you something. If you can believe that God is not going to destroy the earth with water, he says that's how sure you can be that I will not be wroth with you. You don't want his wrothness. Chastisement, his loving, his taking care of, his correction, his rebuke is one thing, but that's not his wrathness. The scripture says he's reserved his wrath for his enemies. I'm glad I'm not his enemy. And at some point you're supposed to say in closing, because some of you are hungry right now, the donut has left the building. I've been staying away from them things, but when I come to Wings, I always know there's a glaze waiting for me. The good news is I only had one. Hallelujah. While Brother Oscar was in there to teach it, I enjoyed my glaze. Okay. So now here in 55, oh, this is good. I get to preach this Wednesday night in Kentucky, the whole chapter. But I just want to comment on a couple things right in the first part of the chapter. Ho. Don't you love King James? Ho. Santa Claus didn't go, ho, 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 who wouldn't go? Hello, come on. It's like God's in heaven saying, ho, and you get the echo going, ho, ho, ho. Anyway, that's bad. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, he says, buy wine and milk without money. And without price. In other words, this is a freebie. I could totally get lost in chapter 55, but just close with me over in the fourth chapter of Romans. Close with me in the fourth chapter of Romans. He says, come, enjoy the smorgasbord. And it won't cost you a We've even covered the tip. It's free. We don't understand that because we're in a performance-driven world. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24 that he that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now, you might say, I don't have any friends. When I walk in the room, everybody leaves. Well, you just revealed that you're a grouch going somewhere to be one. You must not be friendly. See, in horizontal relationships, we must perform. You must be at work on time. Come on. You must do this. You must do the job. You must whatever. And that's fine. That's the way this world works. Did you get it? Get what I just said? Works. But the concept of the grace of God and the goodness of God and the mercy of God is so beyond our way of doing things that when God gives us something free, we still think we have to work for it. And we had Christmas and we have a good time. And, you know, we hand out gifts and I still, this day, my kids are 28 and 29 years old, I still like they were when they was 8. You know, I want to bring stuff in. Close your eyes while I get back. And, you know, stuff. Yeah. And we take turns. We take 2 hours opening presents. We don't all just dive in at once. We take our time. And you know, if I gave that, you know, and somebody got the memo that I like these sweaters that just zipped down to here, you know. So I got 5 of them this year. And now what if I looked over at my son-in-law Michael and said, so how much owe you for this, bud? How much did this set you back? I got some Keith Urban cologne. Got more compliments on Keith Urban cologne. And man, it has affected my guitar playing. It's even made me a better guitar player. It really has. I know it's all psychological, but man, when I squirted that stuff on, my hands got faster. Now, what if I said, how much that cologne set you back? Dad, you don't owe me. That's a
gift. Look what Paul said. Romans 4, verses 4 and 5. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. See, if you're working for it, then you don't get it because it was grace. You got it because you put in your hours and you're getting paid. The next verse, good place to close this sermon. But to him that worketh not, that doesn't mean be lazy. Okay, get it in context here. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. See, we work not to get right. You, matter of fact, after Calvary, righteousness has a new definition. It really has. Now, there are some verses that hint to the fruits of righteousness, and there's a place or two you could apply righteousness to doing. But most of the verses in the New Testament, in the context of righteousness, is about believing. In other words, you can't do anything after Calvary to get righteous. That's good news. You can only believe your way there. And now, it's not that somebody... I'm about to preach real good, Oscar. Get a little bit of that old Pentecostal on me. Now listen. That it's not that somebody didn't work. But it was on a hill far away where there stood an old rugged cross. And we of our day call it the finished work of Christ. We don't have faith in our doing. We have faith in what He already did. Hallelujah. And God calls us righteous. And it's not just unto us, which would imply imputation or counting us righteous. Paul said it's upon all them that believe. There's an impartation. Come on, amen. God actually makes you righteous in Christ. I know that's against your upbringing. That's against your religion, maybe. That's against your way of thinking. But to think that God would call us His righteousness. And in that context, one of those other verses back here in Isaiah said, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. But every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, you'll condemn it. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Wow. Is that good? Now, I'm a history buff. And I'm going to throw a curve at you there. Okay, you knew I would, didn't you? You knew I would. I think it's on All Tracks, the one called All Tracks, and it's number 15. I think it's the last one on there. We will find out when the intro starts, okay? But let me talk a minute here first before we... One little relief to not having the band with me. They always tell me I talk too much. And I tell them, I write your check. Shut up. Okay? My name's on the bus. I can talk as long as I want to. I was here before you discovered America. You know, oh gosh, I'm having fun with that. But no, you know, and I do ramble a little bit. But I like people to know why I'm singing. I don't just get up and just sing a song and walk off stage. I want to know why I'm singing it. Like I took a minute a while ago to explain that song about Simon Peter, so you know what those lyrics mean. Well, there's an old country crooner that died last April named George Jones. And he did a song in his career one time honoring country singers before him. And he talked about Lefty Frizzell and Patsy Cline and Conway Twitty, you know, and Hank Williams and people. And on the chorus of the song, he said, when they're gone, who's going to fill their shoes? And I thought, being the creative guy that I am, I thought, wow, what a concept for a song to make about preachers. Because somebody, see, this thing is older than wings. This thing is older than that plaque on the wall that I used to see down on Maple Street. This thing's older than Eddie Wilson, Oscar Bolin. This, the great denomination that I love and preach in about 25% of the time, called the Assemblies of God, that they just celebrated their 100th year. But this thing's older than them. This thing's older than Methodist Church, Lutheran Church, believe it or not, Catholic Church. This thing started on the shores of Galilee. Well, actually before that, but Jesus came. And then these 12 apostles. And somebody passed the torch. John, in the late 90s, under Trajan, the emperor, handed it on over to Polycarp. And Polycarp was a martyr in about 112 AD. And then somebody handed it on and handed it on. And then we had the Middle Ages. And then we had the Reformation. And then we had the revivals of the 1700s and 1800s and up into the 1900s, which we've lived through. And now up to this very day, somebody brought it to us. So I put a song together. And listen, I only name 33 people. If I named everybody's touched my life and been an influence on me, this song would be an hour and a half long. You wouldn't get to go eat till 3 o'clock, okay? So we're not going to do that to you. But I'm going to sing this song because it's, for one thing, we had a little success with this last year. We sent it to radio. There's wonderful companies that will send your stuff as an independent artist out to many independent stations that play music that aren't so cut and dry and committed to the top 40 and the big labels. They'll use us, people like us. And we sent this out in July, and it jumped on to 1,400 stations. It jumped on the chart in August at number 65 out of 75. And then in September went to 33, and October number 10, number 8 in November, and in December it was number 4. And all over the world, Japan was playing. Can you imagine me getting airplay in Japan? That's funny as it can be. I can see, here we have Blaney, a woman singing a Jones and Jones song. Who gonna fill shoes? I could just imagine a DJ doing that. That was funny what I just did. That was hilarious what I just did. So anyway, come on, baby, sing it with me. You got some parts in this, and let's do our "Who's Gonna Fill Their Shoes" as we close today at 20 to 1. Okay.
I knew you were gonna talk a long time, so.
You knew I would. So. Yeah, I'm half Hamburgy, so you know that explains it all. Okay.
Uncle Cash, thanks.
Here we go. We'll start with, I'm sorry, might not be the right. Simon. That's not it. That's the one Mike did on the record. That's a Doobie Brothers song. Anyway. Okay, try 14.
Test.
See if 14's it. Simon Peter cleared a big break. Thanks, sorry about that. I'm getting used to this again. Let's start with Simon Peter. Simon Peter, James and John, Timothy and Titus, the Apostle Paul's revelation showed us the way. All those martyrs for Jesus. Francis of Assisi. Martin Luther said, "The just shall live by faith." Thank God for Whitefield Knox and Wesley, who taught us to be holy. And all those monks in the monasteries copied down what God said. It was Spurgeon, Finney, McPherson, Eder, Lake, and Ritchie, and Smith Wigglesworth raised folks from the dead.
Who's gonna fill their shoes? Who's gonna preach the cross? Who's gonna tell the world Jesus paid it all? Someone loved and gave it all to bring it to me and you. Somebody tell me, who's gonna fill their shoes?
Get a little closer to our time. Brother Hagin brought us faith. Why, Brother Copeland just wants us to prosper. And the nations were glad when Lindsay answered the call. It was Oral Roberts and Catherine Kuhlman. T.L. Osborne, they brought us healing. And old man Kenyon told us Jesus paid it all. There was Cash, the country preacher from South Lebanon. A cattle farmer named Shakarian. Shambach told us all to shout amen. While there was Brother Sutton and Dake and Schofield, Wilkerson took it to the streets. Billy Graham says to come just as I am. Who's gonna fill their shoes? Who's gonna preach the cross? Who's gonna tell the world Jesus paid it all? Someone loved and gave it all to bring it to me and you. Somebody tell me, who's gonna fill their shoes? The same things you've heard from me, commit thou to faithful men who can teach others also. Somebody tell me, who's gonna fill? Praise God. Let's all stand today. And Christine, if you want to go over to the piano a minute, just play something quietly while we pray here. Lord, we thank you for your love letter. Even in a book that's 2,600 years old, Isaiah speaks to us today. Thank you for your good word, Lord. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for ministering to us so many ways today. Bless you, Father. We love you. Take a minute and just praise him out loud. Come on. The Bible said the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. All of us love the Lord today. Put your hand up real high if you love Jesus. Come on, amen. I believe that's everybody here today. Lord, we thank you for the good thing you're doing in all of us. Thank you, Lord, that all along the trail, no matter what season of life, you're with us. We love you, Lord. Let's just sing that chorus one time. Amen. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust thee, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. God bless you today. Give him a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you for having us back to Wings. And thank you for coming today. And what a great group of folks you have over here helping you with worship. They just do a fine job, don't they? You know, you do a great job, sister. You do. And that boy on that saxophone over, I was thinking, he got some licks going on there, man. You're doing it right now. You got it going on, brother. What are you going to do, brother?
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Mark, would you stand in the back, and we'll take up an offering for Blaine and Christine. And we appreciate them. And keep them in your prayers because, you know, God's changing what he's doing in their lives right now. And just keep them in your prayers, and let's all just believe that God's going to totally have his way and just move and flow in their lives in greater depths. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for your words, our spirit and life. We thank you for sending Blaine and Christine our way this day, and we just ask you to continue to bless them, Father, and just open doors of opportunity for them according to your will, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. I ask you to bless your people. Amen and amen.